So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
State Senator Dave Hansen is a Democrat who's represented Green Bay. Well, he's elected in 2000. He's decided that 20 years in the state Senate is enough, and so we're doing an exit interview. Dave, welcome back to Wisconsin High. I want to thank you for being a champion of Wisconsin High. You've always asked me how we are doing.
Yep, and I'm glad you're still out there doing it, because I think it's very, very important, and especially in this campaign season, being able to interview all these great candidates, I think that's important, and that gets out there, and people can make the determination in the primary and then finally in November who they want to support going forward in this election.
Thanks very much. But tell me why you made the decision not to seek re-election, Dave.
Well, I'm 72 going on 73. My wife and I will soon be celebrating 49 years of marriage. We have a little condo in Egg Harbor in the woods, a little tiny place, but it's ours. So just the opportunity to get out there after 20 years and actually being involved in city government for 20 years as a laborer, and 6 years on a county board. So I'm sitting on 40 years in the state pension, which is interesting. But I think it's time. And we have my nephew is running, and he's 41 years my junior. He's got a heck of a lot more energy than I, and he's in better health than I am. Not to say I'm in bad health, but we're excited for him. And he wanted to continue the legacy, and I said, go for it. And he did.
Well, I understand. But now you and I were scheduled to do this exit interview in the Capitol. But because of COVID, we're doing it over Zoom. How has COVID changed how you as a state senator live your public life, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you, no meetings. If we've had just a couple awards that I received, it was that social distancing with mask. But it's been unbelievable to hunker down at home, to miss three graduations of two college graduates, the grandsons, and a graduate, a granddaughter from Sturgeon Bay, where she's going to be going to lacrosse next year. We missed those three. We did that virtually. So and the only session we've had since March was one virtual. I think we should have had a few more. I think we've got some issues to deal with COVID. But the other side didn't seem to want to meet anymore. And one of the saddest things is on our last day, we didn't know it was going to be our last day. I was going to adjourn in honor of the people of my 30th district that have voted for me for six times. And sadly, the majority leader vetoed us out and said, okay, we're adjourning, and we didn't get a chance to say goodbye. And so it's not the way I envision ending my career. I thought there'd be more sessions and there'd be more committee hearings, but it's a very tough time. And I feel bad for everybody involved, all the jobs that were lost. I see another million in the country unemployed, 5 million without health care. And I think there's things in Wisconsin we've got to do. One of the things you got to do is try to be safer at home if you can do it, or social distance, or wear a mask. I don't know if a mandate works, but I think we have to encourage everybody. And I couldn't be more disappointed. In my city, last weekend, for the Republicans to hold a convention with all their members there, unmasked, and then Congressman Grothman giving his speech and going on a coughing attack. And I'm going, oh gosh, I hope that none of them get sick, because I think it's the right thing to do. And I see where all the major stores now are going to say, hey, mask up and keep social distancing. And that's Kohl's and Walmart and, you know, CVS. Right. So they're all understanding this is not a hoax. This is the real deal. And I had a friend and his wife that had it. They said it was awful. He came through it okay. But it is the real deal. It's not a hoax. And it's a tough time.
Well, you're still an assistant leader of your party in the Senate. And you've just talked about the Green Bay State Convention of the Republicans. I want to ask you to respond to something Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, the Republican leader of the Senate, said about the governor. He said, Governor Evers was a reluctant candidate, point one, point two. Governor Evers, this is Mr. Fitzgerald's term, is not up to the job. I want to give you a chance to respond to that.
Well, I can respond to it, since I'm sure Fitzgerald didn't think I was fit for the job, and he talked about back in the day when they ran the recall and John Nygren got the 398 signatures and didn't get on the ballot. So we had a couple of tete-a-tetes where he would say, okay, I just wish you would have got the 400. You'd have been gone. So one of his goals before he retired, and now we're retiring together, is to remove me. I think Tony is eminently qualified. He had a great attitude as far as trying to work together. What a novel idea. Governor Walker lost. Governor Evers comes in, puts out the olive branch, let's work together. And what do they do? Lame duck. And, you know, then he came up with Safer at Home, and then a Supreme Court ruled against that. They've done everything in their power to make him not have any power, as they have done with the Attorney General. I think it's a sad day. I think we could have done so much better together to accept the fact that Governor Evers won. He's got a good heart. And even to hear Luther say that, Luther, I listened to his tape that you had with him. He really liked the guy. So yeah. I think he was up to the task, and I think he's doing his best. He has hired a lot of really good administrators, and it just seems like they were going to say no to everything, no matter what it was. So I think he's done a good job. I'd like to see him get elected again when he runs, if
well,
he runs.
You alluded to the Wisconsin I Exit interview with Senator Olson. Senator Olson, in that interview, as you know, said the governor is not a professional politician, and he ran up against two professional politicians in Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald. Is that a pretty accurate summary, Dave?
Yeah, I think he did. You know, I don't think anybody expected Governor Walker to lose. But, you know, the situation was, and I think one of the things that really hurt Governor Walker is with Foxconn. That did not play well throughout the state, except for Racine and Kenosha, maybe. But I think that really hurt them. And one of the other things I think really hurt them, not taking the MA expansion, which is probably about $1.6 billion that we've given away, which we really need for healthcare right now. If he would have taken it after he ran for president and failed so badly, I think he'd had a better chance to win. But the right candidate won. But we had the opportunity moving forward to work together and make a difference together and do good things. And we could have done the pandemic a lot better. And of course, the president has really failed in that regard, no question. So the Republican Party hanging their hat on the Republican ideology that it's a hoax and it's not real and everybody should run back to school in the fall and all this, you know. It's about working together and doing what's right for health and safety first.
Well, do you agree with my prediction? I'm going to predict that the Republican leaders bring the ledge back after the November 3 election to rework the state budget because of the drop in GPR, general fund tax collections, because of the pandemic. So I think you're going to get a chance to cast at least one more vote on a revised current fiscal year budget. Do you think I'm right?
No, I think that's possible. We're going to be in need of a budget repair. I think when Governor Walker came in, we really didn't need the repair. It wasn't as bad as Luther Olson was saying the other day. It just was not that serious. We are in real hurt right now to fund public schools and the local governments. And we need help from the federal government, but they're playing games with that. Like, well, you know, we want to give trillions to the rich and we don't want to take care of the people that really need it. The hardworking men and women and the small businesses, which really can make a difference as far as jobs go. So I think we have the opportunity. We'll be prepared. Maybe in November we'll be able to actually show up in the Capitol. But, yeah, it's a good possibility. We'll have to see what Bob Lang says because I think we have our ups and downs. Things open, things close because they find – we've got a neighbor, a little girl's playing softball in a softball league. One of the kids in the league tested positive for COVID. They canceled the season. So it's a difficult time. And we've got a local baseball team that's playing – the Green Bay Booyah amateur team, and they're doing it very restricted at a distance, and it's going to be interesting. And but you know, I wouldn't be surprised to have us call back, and then maybe I can thank the people the 30th in a positive way on the floor of the state Senate.
Right. Hey, looking back over your 20 years in the Senate, what do you consider your biggest achievement, Dave?
Well, I'm thinking back when we first started, and I was with Governor Thompson originally. And I really thought he was a good governor because he really cared about the state of Wisconsin and the UW system. So I wasn't totally unhappy that he became the head for the time being of the University of Wisconsin because I think he's got his heart in the right place. And he always cared about Wisconsin first. But one of the first things I heard when I was campaigning back in 2000, where I'd be out working as a garbage man until 3 o'clock, change clothes and go into the same people and say, well, I'm running a different role now as an former educator because I taught school for 9 years. And a sanitation worker for 20, but go to them and say, well, what's your biggest concern? And it was high cost of prescription drugs, especially for the seniors, where they're splitting their pills or skipping meals, doing everything they could do. But it was the goal of mine was to make it affordable. And we were able to get that done. Governor McCallum signed it into law in a bipartisan way. And it's been continued. I think it's supposed to be continued until 2029. We'd like to have expanded it, but it did save the state and federal government a lot of money. And it did keep people in their own homes. It's a great plan. You know, one small fee and $5, $15, depending if it's generic or name brand. And we did that in a bipartisan way. So I think that was one of the bigger ones. And one of the more recent ones we did was senior care. We had a couple that left from Lakewood and they drove down to Green Bay and somehow they were missing for 30 hours. And I had a former student of mine when I taught at Annunciation called from Florida. Well, don't you have the Silver Alert bill? And I said, we don't have that. Sadly, the father in the incident died the next weekend from dehydration, but the family was concerned enough that they were going to fight to take that lemon and make it into lemonade and get a bill passed. Now we have the Silver Alert in the state. It is like the Amber Alert. And more recently, I had a call from a friend of mine that their grandmother had been missing. She never drove at night, and she left at 5 o'clock, and now it's 10 o'clock at night, and they're concerned. So they're calling the police, and police said, well, she wasn't diagnosed as dementia or Alzheimer's. And I just told the police in my phone call with them, that was never our intent. Our intent, if there was a risk out there, go out there and find this lady and maybe save a life. They did find her much later, and she's driving the wrong way on a highway. So we may have saved a life that day. But that was the intent. We did that in a bipartisan way. Governor Walker signed that at St. Mary's Hospital, where the mother involved was a nurse for a lot of years. So that was a very big one. So those are things I think, you know, we got done, but seemed like in 2011, after Governor Walker came in, it was more about us against them rather than working together in a bipartisan way. So bipartisanship is one thing we got to get back to.
Well, that was my next question. Is the biggest change you've seen in 20 years the partisan nature of the Capitol now?
I would say so. And another case where we had split government, and with John Gard and I, we were able to get $7.5 million for UWGB's Crest Center. It's now a $30 million facility, and it took that program from very low capacity D3 facility to high level D1. And we're very proud of that. Last year, John and I were at the 10th anniversary of that. So it's like, well, there's some good things you could do together. And, you know, some of the things we did with Mayor Nemerine recently, with the governor and John Nygren, but we haven't done enough of it. And it's like, you're on the floor and a lot of times Republicans aren't even listening to you because they know they're not gonna vote that way. And I really never knew there was a Denny Hastert rule that they have to have a super majority or they have to have a majority within their own house to get a bill passed. We had the homelessness bill that came from the assembly and that passed unanimously. We couldn't even take it up because they couldn't get 17 votes in their house. They wouldn't even take a vote on it. They tabled it. So it's like, what the heck? You know, we could have got that done. It could have helped a lot of people.
Okay. Dave, one of the water issues are big in Northeast Wisconsin.
Right.
PFAS. I mean, that's a growing issue. Like in Marinette, I interviewed Representative Nygren. He talked about his frustrations. People are not aware of PFAS. So isn't clean water one of the major unresolved things? I guess my question is clean water one of your biggest frustrations that you didn't get done in your 20 years?
Well, we did get the Great Lakes Compact passed, which I thought was very, very important. And for the record, water is life. And we had a bill that we came out with, the CLEAR Act. Yeah. And the governor came out and supported it. And Republicans were mad because they said they weren't invited, though we did invite Senator Coles. And then we went, and my staff worked very hard with Nygren's staff to find a compromise, to not hold the municipalities or the firefighters accountable, but to hold Tycho Johnson in control for manufacturing the PFAS. Mm-hmm. And he could not even get a vote in the assembly. And then he said, well, it was my fault because I couldn't get it done in the Senate, but we never even had the opportunity. He could not get it out of his own house. And I think the PFAS issue is more than just Marinette, Peshtigo. It's all over the state. You know, it's in Madison, at Truax Field. It's in many other places. I understand maybe in the western part of the state. So it's an ongoing issue. We got to hold them accountable. And it's not right to say the municipality's got to pay for it. The firefighters got to pay for it. We got to hold Johnson Control Tycho responsible for it.
Okay. You know what strikes me, Dave, is there's about, I don't know, 140, 160 years worth of Senate Democrats that are leaving, with Senator Risser, Senator Schilling's already gone, Senator Miller's gone, and you've gone. Why the exodus? Why so many of your Democratic peers leaving this year?
Well, I think Jen's got a position that she liked and liked better being at home. But I think in Fred's case, at 90-something,
yeah,
with what, 60 years, and Mark Miller, older than I, you know, it's just time where it's time to look for young blood, I think, and move forward. One of the best pictures we had was with Mark Miller and Fred Risser and I with over 100 years, as you mentioned. Yes. And I thought at the state convention, they should at least mention the fact that, you know, we were leaving. The one thing I learned about state conventions, it's not a whole lot about the state legislators. It's more about the congressional candidates and them speaking. In my 20 years, even when they were in Green Bay, I never even made it to the stage. And in fact, when we came back from Illinois, Fab 14, we never made it to the stage. It's like, a little respect would have been good, but sour grapes maybe, but I just think that's something they got to look into the future, that state legislatures are important as well as congressional. And this election is no, we got to protect the governor's veto big time.
You mentioned the Fab 14. I was going to ask you about that.
I thought you might.
That's Saturday that you came back. You were welcomed with you 14 were welcomed with a large rally in the Capitol. So, but here's my question. 9 years later, in hindsight, the controversy over Act 10, would you do anything differently, Senator?
No, I would not. And okay. I've been quoted on a local TV station that I do it again. Of course, I was running then. They're saying, oh, he's going to leave the state again. What I was saying at the time, we thought we did the right thing. We wanted to move the state forward and letting them know what was going to happen to public employees. And the saddest part is the public employees did nothing wrong. They were in a system that's been there forever and it worked well. So it didn't have to be that way, you know, and then it became against the private unions, the project labor agreements eliminated, and it became a right to work state and prevailing wage is gone. So, I mean, these situations could have been worked out. If there were problems, we could have worked them out, but I have no regrets. I won't have the opportunity to do it again, so they can't use that against me. But I think we did the right thing. And when we came back to 100, 150,000 people, and we were like out of the history books, you know, this wanted to touch you like, God, we've been seeing you on TV for 22 days. It is a memorable time. I think we are in the history books. It didn't turn out quite the way we wanted it to. Governor Walker benefited somehow, made himself like a hero. But I think we did what we thought was right, to fight for the public employees. And as one for 20 years, as a garbage man, I didn't do anything wrong. It was a system that we had good benefits, the pay wasn't great. We should not have been attacked. The educators should not have been attacked. I think they made the wrong decision. And hopefully in time, it can be corrected moving forward. We'll have to see.
Senator, but you've heard Governor Walker, Speaker Voss, and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said that Act 10 has saved taxpayers more than $5 billion. What's your response
to
that?
I think that's absolutely absurd. There's no way. I mean, they put them in the system and we pay. I just don't think they save that kind of money. I think that's just talking points. I don't have the statistics in front of me. I think that's BS, to be perfectly honest. They're trying to sell it. I mean, what do they actually do? You know, they tried. There are a lot of local communities decided to stick with their educators and their public employees. Some didn't. But I think that amount of money, there's just no way. We'd be in a lot better shape financially if that would have been true. I just don't think that happened, in my opinion, that kind of savings at all.
Talk to me about what's at stake with former Vice President Biden versus President Trump. What's at stake for Wisconsin, Senator?
I think everything. The numbers look good right now, but I think the president is doing all of his power to make it harder and harder for people to vote by mail, even though he has, and a lot of his staff has. He's making this stuff up because he figures out that if the Democrats and the independents vote, he's going to lose, and he's going to lose big. And some people, the Cook Report's, you know, talking about a blue tsunami, not only the presidency, but this U.S. Senate and the House and total control. And I think it's time for that, because what they've done with the courts to pack them, it's wrong. I think President Trump will go down in history as one of the worst presidents ever, if not the worst. His handling of the pandemic's been awful. He has not done anything to grow the economy, even though people think he has. But the jobs that come back are jobs that were lost, and there are a lot of jobs out there are never going to come back. And he refuses to do anything for health care or to extend the unemployment, because, well, they're going to make too much money. Then they do a tax package or the act to move us forward, and all that money goes to people that really didn't need it. The people in the small businesses I mentioned before and the lower income people are the ones that need it. They should have gotten it. And again, it was a sham, just like the other tax act that they passed earlier under Paul Ryan. Those things just not work out well as creating jobs. The billionaires get richer, the millionaires get richer, and the people on the low end and the people that really need it now, the educators in our public schools really need it. They're not getting it.
Well, okay, but now let's bring it home from a state standpoint. At that state, at that same state Republican convention, Representative Nygren, one of your reps, said the veto-proof majority in both houses is within reach. So if the Republicans picked up your seat and the 10th and some others, they could have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. And if Speaker Voss's team picked up, you know, three seats, a veto-proof majority, what would that mean for Governor Evers, Senator?
I think it'd make it very difficult for him. But I'm hoping with the amount of money that the Democratic Party raised, which dwarfed what the Republicans raised, and that's for a reason. It's to protect
$10 million.
The governor veto. You know, his ability to veto and not get overridden. So I think they're dreaming again, just like they're saying they saved $5 billion by doing whatever. I think it's not gonna happen. We've got really, really good candidates. I'm going, some of the women that are running are amazing. I think my nephew is amazing too, but they got a challenge. I think, you know, Brad Pack will do well. And Patty Schachter is a perfect candidate for that district, not a well-drawn district. But that is the real key why he's got to have his veto protected. The gerrymandering that's happened in his state, it's been awful. In November in Brown County, we're going to have another referendum question on fair maps. I think we're at 52 counties now. There will be about 7 or 8 more. And 70% of the people want it fixed. But the Republicans don't want it fixed because they love the system that they have. And the system is bogus. It's not one person, one vote. They're in safe districts. They don't have to worry about it. They can take a bad vote. They can say they support dark store loophole closing, and then they do nothing, and then they get credit for that. So I think it's time that we get a more balanced government to work with the governor, and veto-proof Representative Nygren's a bad idea. You try to do it with the lame duck. You made it difficult. You're going to try to make it worse for him. He is our governor. We do have 3 branches of government. Just knock it off.
Hey, Dave, as somebody who taught for 9 years, how do you think our schools, our K-12 schools, should reopen this fall? Do you think we can go back to in-person, or pretty much dominated by online and by online learning?
I think it's going to be a mixture. And I think it's going to depend where we are in August. Some of these school districts down south start a lot earlier, and they're going through massive amounts of the virus expansion. And I see it's happening in Marinette County now. And Brown County has been at the top of the list. A lot to do with the meat packing plant and all that, but there is community spread. So it's going to have to be done looking at the welfare of the children. You know, when you hear Betsy DeVos to say, oh, well, 1% die, the kids, that's okay. That's 15,000 kids in America that are going to die, and that's acceptable. It's like when the president said, us old people should be accepting the fact that, you know, we can be removed. We aren't needed. We're expendable. I, as a 73-year-old man, I'm not ready to go yet, you know. It's not easy, but I think they're going to have to do it looking at the health departments. I'm disappointed in the governor of Florida, where all the local governments are saying mask up and social distance, and he's saying, I'm telling you all, you can't do it. You can't even require it to any local government. I'm the boss at the state level. I know Governor Evers tried to do it, but our Supreme Court ruled, and he was just trying to do safer at home gradually, which I think was a great concept. Right. But they cut his legs out from under him, and that's what they'll do again if they make it the veto not stand up for the governor. So a okay. veto-proof majority is a mistake.
Just a couple more questions, Dave. How has, you represent District 30. How has District 30 changed in the 20 years that you've represented it?
Well, they gerrymandered me, and former Senator Frank Lissay said they did it to beat me. That's when they gave me Bellevue and Ledgeview and De Pere and other communities and took away the west side of Green Bay and took away Pulaski and Pittsfield and Chase. He said, you're not going to win. You're going to hate this district. Well, we get elected a few times after that. So Frank was wrong. But it's still 48-52, 48% Democrat, 52% Republican. But I give my staff a lot of credit, and the people of the 30th. You know, we've worked really, really hard to represent them well. One of my best parts of my district is O'Connell. We helped them expand their hospital. We did the 41 expansion for them and for the Green Bay area. We did the nursing home in O'Connell. And we did what we could for Marinette Marine. So we worked very hard to help our constituency. And that's why I've been there for getting elected 6 times. But you know, I just want to thank the people of the 30th. They've been great. And I love parades and picnics. I miss them this year. And that's one of the things we'll really miss. And the school groups been awesome. Yeah. And all the Eagle Scout ceremonies I've been at, been great.
How has the economy changed in the 30th District in your 20 years, Dave?
Well, I'll say right now, it's not indicative of too much. A restaurant will open, they'll get a case of COVID, a lot outside. I think, you know, so many businesses are closing. We had the Black and Tan downtown Green Bay, and he was trying to make it go, and now he said, I'm just giving up. Other businesses are giving up. We still have a manufacturing base. Marinette Marine's still existing. There's some manufacturing going on in the Green Bay area, obviously. The service industry's big. Our hospitals are well-utilized, especially with the pandemic, and that's kind of sad, but we're a service-oriented industry, some manufacturing, but the restaurant businesses are really hurting. Food business, not so many, it's not so bad. The groceries are doing okay, but it's been a very difficult time. But over time, I think we're expanding okay. We're doing good. Marinette Marine getting that frigate contract, and despite the fact that Representative Nygren wanted to take full credit, Governor Evers, going back to Governor Doyle, Congressman Stupak and Kagan, they all played a large part, as did Senator Baldwin, to make that happen. So I think it's a good thing. We just got to keep those workers safe because I think they got a COVID problem there too.
Okay, two final questions. What's your advice to the next senator from the 30th District, Senator?
Well, do what my nephew has done with me, parades, picnics, and he is unbelievable at doors. He's missing that a lot. When he ran my campaign or helped run it in 2016, he got to know my district probably better than I did, some of the nooks and crannies. He's very bright. He's a hard worker. So work hard, but be out there for your constituency. Meet with them. Do what you can for them. Take their calls. We've been dealing with the unemployment situation. We're trying to help them with that. I think the Republicans left us in a bad situation with the system in place, outdated computers and all that, and not enough staff. They're doing their best, but it's not easy. And I think Governor Evers said it, that their plan to do whatever was kind of a political stunt or political theater to make them look good. But, you know, we got to do whatever we can. He will, whoever it is, and not just mine, but the new assemblywomen, they got their heart in the right place. They want good health care, and they want good environment, and they want good public education and tech schools and universities. So all of those things they got to work for.
Okay, and then final question. I noticed that you're in the Packer room. Do you expect you and other Packer fans to actually be in person at Lambeau this season? Or are you afraid those games are going to be played without diehard fans like you?
Well, back in 1956, we were out at the stadium watching them build their 32,000-seat stadium, which is now an 80,000-seat stadium. I was at the Ice Bowl and I ushered for 30 years. We did get the county tickets, which allowed us to go with four tickets to two different games. They said, we will not get those tickets. They're going to refund us. You got to put yourself into a raffle, and we got picked, but they're going to send us our money back. The exhibition games are already not going to have people there. The practices aren't. Family game is not going to have any fans. Right. So we'll have to see, but I think it's going to be rather restricted. They're telling us, even if we had league games scheduled as county taxpayers, we are not going to be going to those games. So I suspect somebody said, how many games do you think they'll get through? I think they'll get through a few, but the question is, do we make it to the season and a playoff? And how do they do that? Are they going to do it like the NBA in the end and go virtually somewhere? I don't know. They could do it at Lambeau, you know, keep it closed. But I'll tell you, lose a lot with that. And the Badger football is interesting too. And my UWGB sports, which I love. I just hope, you know, our volleyball and our basketball programs go forward.
Okay. It sounds like you've had a lot of fun, a lot of memories in your 20 years in the Senate, Senator.
You bet. It's been great, 20 years, and I just want to thank again everybody that supported us, and even the ones that didn't. We did our best to represent you.
Democratic Senator Dave Hansen has represented District 30. He has chose not to seek re-election. Dave, thanks for this exit interview. Wisconsin I really appreciates it, and good luck in retirement.
Thanks, Steve. We'll love it.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.